Welcome back to Nerdery and Nonsense. I'm your host, Joe, the great one, Joe Wick with a stick, Jonathan Wickless. I don't even fucking know. Bo Katan's Boo. That one is very important. But y'all know what it is, man. We're doing the Super Mario Brothers spoiler review. And I know you already watched, you watched the description, you saw the title. So the homie is here. Hey, Isa is here. Din Grogu's stepmother. You know what I mean? We rejected it before, but you know, she appealed. You know what I mean? We approved the nickname.
You can't reject the truth. Process.
We can't. This is America, buddy. We can always reject the truth. But anyways, hey, Isa, what's going on?
I'm good. It's been a while. It's been too long. I can't believe the things I'll have to admit tonight, but I'm prepared.
That's right. That's a beautiful tease. That's right. He is going to bare her soul and bury the hatchet here, okay? Some beef she had, which intertwines perfectly with this movie. So, yeah, we're going to review Super Mario Brothers. Do we really need a synopsis? I don't think we need a synopsis, man. Mario is introduced to the wonderful super world. You know what I mean? He goes through a tube and fun and adventure begins. You know what I mean? Clearly, he has a speechless. My synopsis was so beautiful. It was so beautiful. She was like, yeah, you're right, Joe. You're goddamn right I am. But no, man, there is so much goodness.
I don't need nothing else. He went through a tube.
Right. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Mario is down on his luck. No one believes in him but his brother. They're in it together. They're up against the odds, starting a new business with a new beautiful commercial that made me laugh so much. And when all is going wrong in New York, the plumbing is failing, the streets are flooding. Mario and Luigi try to fix it, and they're transported to a new special world, but they're separated. The brothers, the super brothers, are separated, and Mario finds a new cast of friends and some foes in his route to reunite with his brother and save the day. That was off the fucking dome. So, hey, Isa, it was so many beautiful things that went on in this movie. You know, I loved so much of it. There were definitely some downsides, but I loved so much of it. But because I'm the host with the most, I'm going to let you go first. Like, what's one of your favorite, what's one of the favorite things that comes to mind when you think about Super Mario, about this movie?
So I have a list. So I'll just read the first thing that I have on that list.
Do it. Don't tell him about the podcast magic. This is all off the dizome. How dare you?
No, the girls know. The good up followers know. I said I come with a research, with a list. So first thing that comes to mind is the casting, just overall. It was excellent casting from top to bottom. I have no complaint, including he who shall not be named.
Christopher Pratt, the god. Ooh-wee. Oh man, you see, I was gonna let you go somewhere else, but you just throw me the alley-oop. So Heiza's 100% correct. You know what I mean? And whenever me and Heiza agreeing, which tends to happen on the reviews, I don't know why he's only on the reviews we agree.
It does.
Right?
It does.
Let's talk about Chris Pratt. The buzz about this movie was, oh my God, he's terrible. What's the voice? We don't like the wah-ha. We don't like none of that. It don't sung like the games. And my nigga Chris said, Black Twitter, take that, niggers. And my boy did a great job.
He did a great job. He did it well enough to where I was able to forget who was voicing Mario. And on behalf of Black Twitter, I need to clarify that the issue is not, I don't think the issue was ever with how he did the voice. I think the issue was with him as a person. So I think they just took their beef into the movie and was like, either way, it's fuck Chris Pratt, you know? But he did a good enough job to where I forgot that he was the voice of Mario. So I'll allow it.
And you're 100% correct. They were taking the beef. Do you know what I mean? They couldn't separate the art from the artist. And exactly what he just said was right. On two counts, what we just agreed on. And also, I had the exact same feeling in the movies. Like, every 15 minutes, I would go, oh, okay. Who played Mario? Oh, shit, it's Chris. Like, every 12 minutes, I would go, oh, wait. It is Chris Pratt. He's doing great. You know what I mean?
Star-Lord.
Yes, Star-Lord, Star-God, okay? Talk to them, Chris. Okay. Star, okay? You can't spell Star-Lord without S-T-R. S-T-A-R. And that's Star. You know what I mean? But yeah, man. He really was great. I really think he did a great job. Beyond that, I think the casting was great. But since we're on the casting, right? I think we got to talk about it, man. We got to talk about it. I think for Mario, he had more like a basic role to me. It wasn't so much heavy lifting. He was kind of just like taking us, helping us explore the world. And the fact that we didn't realize that it was your boy, Star-Lord, Star-God, you know what I'm saying? Christopher Pratt, you know what I mean? Because we didn't know it was him, I think that means he did a great job. But speaking of the casting, I just think Bowser, played by my guy, Jack Black, was phenomenal. I think that was a standout one, right?
That was an excellent choice. I think when you have a character like Bowser, like you could go obviously the traditional like evil scary route, and I think them choosing to make Bowser funny along with being like the villain was just amazing. First of all, the Peaches song need a Grammy. Give my boy his fucking Grammy right now. That was a bop.
Fox.
I was here for it.
Fox. Absolutely, Fox. I mean, that's the thing too. Like, the thing that I really enjoyed about the performance was just like you said, like they mixed, you know what I mean? Like, yes, you can make him scary. He's a villain, but how scary can Bowser really be? It's a ridiculous design. It's a bad turtle. Like, let's keep this thing light and fun. And I think they really did that in an impressive way on a number of levels, because one, you lean into Jack Black, and we all know everything Jack Black in, he gonna sing, he gonna make fun of himself, because he really does love music, you know, and he is a musician. So they infused in the musicianship with the actor, and the character was beautiful. And also, you know, from watching this movie, we know that his thing is like, yo, I dominating all these kingdoms, I want the superstar so I can present it to Peach so she can marry me. And I think that is a beautiful spin on what we got, you know, back in the 90s and I guess maybe some of the 80s, late 80s and the rest of the 90s and beyond with Mario, because we knew the subtext. It was this big bad guy kidnapping the princess. And for people who are adults, like, what is the subtext of that? Right? He's not taking her to, you know what I'm saying? To go watch Netflix or whatever. Like, it is a kid's thing, but it's kind of, what are we actually saying? So I love the way that they kind of twisted it and like spun it, like, okay, this is kind of fucked up in the subtext. Let's present him this way. He's still a bad guy, because he's like, okay, well, if you don't want me, I gonna kidnap you. You know what I mean? So he's still a bad guy.
I forgot this shit up.
Right, but I like the way that they twisted. He was still like a toxic guy, but he was just like a fake nice guy. And I loved it. I thought that was so clever to me.
Yeah. It was definitely great. I think choosing to cast Jack Black specifically, like, excellent choice. And I think too, like you said, when you play the video games, obviously you don't have a whole lot of backstory. You just know who's supposed to be the hero and who's supposed to be the villain. And I think when a lot of us were younger, we would play these games and be like, but what the fuck is Bowser's problem? The man, like, why he always kidnapping she? So this movie was like, oh, okay, we'll answer the questions. Like, you wanted to know who these characters really are and like what their personalities are. So this movie just kind of answered a lot of questions, especially for those of us who used to play the games when we were younger or still do, because I definitely still do.
Facts. Yeah, no, I mean, and that's the thing, like that kind of like that example is like one of the reasons like I really enjoyed the movie. Like, obviously it's a simple movie, it's fun, it's light, it's colorful, and we get some of the other things that we liked. But that's one of the things I really liked about this movie, because they kind of evolved it in a way, and I think that kind of extended to Peach. You know what I mean? Peach was just somebody to be saved. You know what I mean? Like, every now and then you get to play with her in the games. We saw later in Super Smash Brothers, you could play with her as a character and fight and all that stuff. But she was just fridged, as people say. You know, the woman character, they just dare to be rescued. They don't have agency. They're not, like, saving themselves. They're not useful. You know what I mean? Quote, unquote. Like the dudes normally in the movie. So I love how they kind of made Bowser, to me, more interesting and leveled him up in a way in terms of, like, the depth of his character, even though he's still fucked up. But they also did the same thing for Peach. You know what I mean? Like, Peach was a badass. She was more capable than Mario. He couldn't stand up to her, you know what I mean? Even teaching him the ropes of how the power-ups work and going to the little obstacle course as training. Like, she was the most formidable character, even later on when she does become kidnapped. So I really like the way that they kind of, like I said, leveled her up and gave her more to do.
Yeah. Yeah, she honestly was one of my favorite characters in the movie because she had, like, such a dope personality. And Toad is up there, Donkey Kong is up there, but, you know, she was pretty dope. And it makes she badass. I appreciated it.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing, too. Like, I definitely heard some complaints from some other folks who will not be named. And it was basically more like, oh, well, she was badass, but she was boring. And I thought, and let me know what you think here. I thought, without the context of, like, remembering the game and how it played out and her role in the game, I think it was a meaningful evolution, because you don't want to have that same message where it's just, oh, well, she's just there to be saved. She in this wall with all these power-ups. She's the fucking leader of the kingdom. And she useless? Like, how the fuck she become the leader if she can't do shit?
But also, like, how the fuck did somebody find her boring when she was out here, like, kicking Mario ass on the obstacle course and racing just as good as everybody else? And she even gave her own personal backstory of, like, the fact that she's human and she ended up in this wall, and how the Toads kind of, adopted her and all of that stuff. Like, how the fuck did you find that boring? Are you boring?
No, that's why I say, like, to me, she had shit to do, but it's like they wanted more from her. And I'm confused, because to me, and I was saying this a little bit on Twitter, to me, this movie did what it was supposed to do.
Yeah,
it gave you fun movie. You felt that they were clearly trying to plan for the future as it pertains to kind of like world building. You got a feel for how do all of these ridiculous things work in their real world, you know? You have power-ups, but just like the game is random, it makes you stronger. You have some of the politics, quote-unquote, I use that word, not a capital P, you know, but a lowercase p, you know what I mean? Politics between the nations. And some, you know what I mean? Like, it's fun, it's colorful. You feel nostalgic for all the different characters and moves and conflicts and all this stuff. And even lesser and lesser known characters like fucking Diddy Kong making an appearance, and the different Koopas, and you have the racing part of the movie. To me, it was just what it's supposed to be. Like, everything don't have to be fucking Citizen Kane, bro. Like, I had to laugh that tweet. Yeah. Here. It's like, I was just like, I hate hearing these movie buffs always talk about these. Like, anytime a movie is just fun and they're not trying to save the wall, or they're not trying to, like, be the deepest thing you've ever seen, they act like these movies aren't valuable just because you're enjoying the ride. Like, it has to be some, I don't know, chess over checkers motherfucker. Yeah. It has to be so complex. And it's like, well, sometimes it could just be fun. You know what I mean?
It's honestly this thing, and I don't call it Marvel syndrome, where everybody expects every film to come out and be like a blockbuster, like a legendary movie that just changing the game every single time. And I think what happened is that so many people have gotten used to essentially this decade plus of Marvel, where every new movie were dropping like this amazing revelation, or you were discovering something new. And it was just like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, it was just this huge deal with every single film that dropped, and they have such big hype around their film releases, that now every movie that coming out, it's like, if you don't feel that same level of hype, if it don't have the same type of world building and like complications of like all these different characters and all of that stuff, then it's like, it's not good enough. And it's like, okay, Marvel does what Marvel does, and that's great, but you also need the fun family like animated films. You also need the horror, you know, science fiction genre. You need rom-coms. Like, our issue now is that everybody want everything to be so like monolithical in terms of film. And that shit boring. Like, I don't want to watch the same movie over and over again. I want to sit down and watch Donkey Kong beat the shit out of Mario. And that's enough for me. Like, that's fine. It don't need to win an Oscar. Like, it's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And you are 100% right. Because this movie, I think at this point, I think it make like 700 hundreds of millions of dollars. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, people are clearly enjoying it, and yes, it being nostalgic helps, you know what I mean? But clearly, you can basically see how much, how well and how well received the movie has been by audiences, you know what I mean? And you brought it up, and I was going to ask you about that. But how did you feel about the whole Donkey Kong Nation? And before we talk about that, worldwide, it make $892 million. As of today. So this shit kicking ass. It about to make a billy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? It about to make a billy. But like, you talked about that scene and them getting introduced to, you know, Donkey Kong Country, essentially, because, hey, Big Bad Bowser is coming. He's going to take over the Mushroom Kingdom and we need allies. You know what I mean? So Mario go over there and he have to challenge Donkey Kong and he getting his ass beat. That fight was so fun to me. Like, it just boiled down the whole SSR running around, using your little power-ups, how these jokey-ass power-ups look ridiculous, but they're so fun and useful. Like, I was like a kid in a candy store with that scene and even the movie Beyond. Was that one of your favorites or you have a different one?
Honestly, I think that from the time they arrived to Donkey Kong, like from to that kingdom, to the fight between Mario and like, that's my favorite part of the whole movie. And it's mostly, it's obviously the fight and all the power-ups and stuff. First of all, shout out to the cat power-up, got all my favorite part.
Facts.
As a cat owner, that was my shit, because I was like, this is exactly how they don't act. But it's like, this was a scene where they really started to incorporate elements of the game. And it happened in other scenes throughout the movie, but it's, from the time the monkey had like picked them up and were escorting them to the castle, I guess, and he basically had to race through the kingdom in order to get there.
Right.
And it's like bananas making people slip. It's like power-ups. He, at one point, he jumped off of a ramp and his glider, that was the first appearance of a glider in the entire movie. Mm-hmm. And me and Steven just keep looking at each other like, oh shit, that'll happen on the game. Like, all these little elements and like motifs to the game itself, what it just packed into this scene, and it was so much fun. And then when Diddy Kong show up, I was cracking up because he was like, I talking to you, Diddy, and he was like, ah. But it was fun. It just, overall, the whole movie was fun, but this scene in like particular was just packed with all these different things that you could look at and like be kind of engaged with, and I thought they were really, they do that really, really well. And then Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong, well, I don't know who made that decision, but shout out to you, because for, you know how sometimes when you don't know that you feel this way until somebody does something, like I didn't know that I've pictured Seth Rogen as like the perfect person to play Donkey Kong until he played Donkey Kong. Like, when he laughed, I was like, this makes so much sense. Of course he's Donkey Kong. Like, of course he is.
No. And you're right. Like, it wasn't something that, like, I thought about. But you're right. It's just like, you know it when you see it. It was that type of, like, phenomenon. You know what I mean? And, like, that's like you said, like, the casting was so great, even in, like, even in, like, subtle ways, right? Because, like, even, like, let's look at some of the other characters, right? So, obviously, we talked about Jack Black. We talked about Chris Pratt, the god. Like, Princess Peach played by... Yeah, I go keep saying that. Folks at home, I was so excited. Because, he's one of them who were going hard on my boy Chris Pratt. And when he do good, I say, yeah.
You know how I feel about that, man.
I was like, yeah, let me see if she's going to tell the truth.
But I can check my bias. I could check my bias and I could tell the truth. He did good.
I glad. That's
I have no complaints.
Well. That's my respect here is, okay? That's integrity, okay?
I'll allow it.
But no, but even beyond the big folks, right? Like Carrie Payton, who's like a very well-known voice actor, you know? Lately, since he's been a what do you call it? I don't want to say a real actor, but a live-action actor in The Walking Dead. No, he's kind of getting quote-unquote typecasted as, like, kings. So, Carrie Payton was the penguin king that we saw in the trailer and obviously in the movie that Bowser just obliterated with his ridiculous dragon breath that was ridiculously overpowered. Like, even King Michael Key as Toad, I had no idea that's who he was playing. That's how much of a good job he did of masking his voice. Like, there were so many good roles. Even Fred Armisen, like SNL guy, character guy playing Cranky Kong. Like, they nailed this to such a degree that I think it was so fun that, to me, unless you were going in to hate it, there was nothing really to not like. You know what I mean? And we didn't even get to the animation. To me, I thought the animation was everything was incredible. You know what I mean? Like, even that particular scene when they were racing on the rainbow.
This was such a vivid, colorful.
You got to love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to love it.
This is such a vivid, colorful movie. Like, again, it was just fun. Everything you love about the video game. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, I hadn't like touched anything related to Super Mario Brothers or Mario Kart or anything like that in years. Mm-hmm. And a friend come over and had a Switch and we load up the game. And I remember saying like, this video game is so colorful. Like, it'll just make me happy. Like, playing this game because everything's so colorful and like fun. Mm-hmm. And it's literally this, they found a way to make you feel for an hour and however many minutes that you were playing a video game.
Yeah.
The whole time, even though you're following this plot, like I had feel like I was sitting down playing a video game.
Mm-hmm. Nope, are you 100% right? Because that's the feeling they were trying to give us. And I ain't played a Mario game in a long time. You know, like, obviously, like, I play, like, Mario Kart maybe every now and then, you know? I get a Switch or whatever. But, like, as soon as I get out to the theater, I was like, yeah, I need to play some Mario Kart. Where is Super Smash Brothers? Let me play with Mario. Like, it did what it was supposed. It was supposed to do, man. It just hit all the right boxes. And we kind of like lightly touched on it, but it was so funny. Like, it to me, I found it so funny.
And the comedic timing was everything.
Yeah.
The comedic timing was literally everything. And that kind of goes back to the casting choices too, because first of all, choosing to put Keegan-Michael Key in anything animated, very smart, because that man is hilarious.
Yep.
But him as fucking Toad, I'm just like, all the shit that he would be saying. I really loved it. But they wouldn't insert like all these. It was like the dialogue was funny, but they would insert all these little like motifs to the game or just even random shit. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but when Mario was in like the cat power up, right? And he had already defeated Donkey Kong. There was one point where the shot went to Mario on top of Donkey Kong back, and he was like pressing his paws in Donkey Kong back like a cat would do. And I bust out laughing because I have cats. Like, that's some shit they would do. And it was just like little things like that throughout the movie that I thought was like, just excellent. I had so much fun. I could talk about this movie all day.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. Like, to me, it was just pure joy. You know, like, I've seen some other folks who I refuse to name because I just think they're fucking fun vampires. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh yeah, it was thinly plotted. I'm like, bro, man, just go. I don't know. That's mean. I ain't gonna say that. Go somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, who goes to Mario for like The Wire? Who goes to Mario for like Citizen Kane? Who goes to Mario for like some Gone Girl shit? You know what I'm saying? And
they would rate their favorite nostalgic movies the same way if they were to be released in 2023, though. That's the funniest part. Like, you think this Mario movie just ain't it, but your favorite movie from your childhood probably has a weaker plot than this Super Mario Brothers movie.
Facts. So
pick one, bitch.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the thing, man. Like, I think the comedy was just throw. Like, you mentioned, like, Keegan-Michael Key as Toad, where he would, like, fluctuate in his voice. Like, he was, like, nice, happy-go-lucky Toad. And then when Princess Peach was in trouble, he's like, I will save you. Like it was just, like, him, like, pointing out, like, his badass voice and, like, the fucking star of the shit, pun intended, Luma Lee. You know what I mean? The little blue star. When everyone was imprisoned, like, who were just saying the darkest shit ever. I was in there fucking dying.
It was so funny at the end, right? Because we were in this theater with old white people, right? It's most of who live in Tucson, them and their kids. So this character had like a very millennial Gen Z ass like humor where we don't openly joke about how shitty the wall is and how much life sucks. So when she at the end was like, the movie's over and now you're left with this like empty void and there's nothing left, and she was like, isn't this a perfect time to play guitar or some shit like that, and I fucking died. I was like, this mm-hmm. is whoever like planned this character out was like, yeah, this is for the millennials, like absolutely. We are the sarcastic, like depressed, everything fucking sucks but oh well generation. Like, you are hilarious.
No, you're right. I find the quote. I was looking for it, right? This is the quote that had me fucking dying, because they all trapped up. They about to get sacrificed by Bowser. I literally gonna go, there's no escape. The only hope is a sweet relief of death. Relatable.
All the prisoners were like, bitch, shut up.
Right. They were like, yo, what's going on here, Miss? Like, man, like, Lumalee was fucking killing me, bro. Like, yeah. I don't know, man. This movie was great. But, you know, we just gushing on, which we should, because I think a movie deserves it, despite what the film buffs say. But, so, let's talk a little bit about the plot. Like, obviously, they're saying, like, some amazingly plotted thing. But, like, what do you think about the plot? You know what I mean? Mario and Luigi get, basically, like I said in the beginning, they travel to this new magical world. They get separated. Luigi is captured by Bowser. And obviously, Mario and Luigi have that brotherly bond. And Mario is trying to save his brother while he gets wrapped into saving the Mushroom Kingdom. And everything kind of coalesces because Bowser, being a little stalkerish bitch, saying, oh my God, she likes Mario, not me. Oh my God, she's not going to marry me. I'm such a bitch. You know, oh my God. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do we think about that? I thought it was a nice little way to kind of mix everything together, but what were your thoughts on the general plot?
I thought the general plot was excellent. I think, again, they wanted to find a way to give context behind the story of this video game, right? Like, we've been playing this game for decades. What's the real story? Why do these characters, like, what is the motivation behind this villain? What motivates Mario to be the hero of the story? Why is Luigi such a fucking scary ass motherfucker for everything? Like, what is the difference between Mario and Luigi? And like, why? You know, like, it answers all of these questions that like people probably have had in their heads about this game, and it found a way to create a story out of it, right? Like, the choice to make Mario and Luigi these plumbers from Brooklyn who weren't originally a part of this wall, and like find a way to insert them into this world that made sense, and having Mario's motivation be, you know, his family and his friends viewing being a plumber as this like lame, weak thing. Like, it was very, I think, well thought out. It was a fun way to create this story, and it was a simple enough plot that it could appeal to little kids who probably don't have the same nostalgia for this world that the millennials and the Gen Zers and shit and Gen Xers do.
Right.
But at the same time, the humor and the casting and like the inside jokes within the plot was for us too. So it, again, I get, you know, bias. You could feel how you want to feel about the movie, but I really don't see any major issues or things missing from this film that would make me be like, it wasn't appealing to me. Like,
yeah,
they hit the nail on the head. And as somebody who really loves film and kind of how people put film together, I feel like from the casting to the score, that's one thing I didn't mention when I talk about things that I love. From the casting to the score, like, this was well thought out. I know we focusing on the plot, but like, everything else fed into this plot so well that for people to be like, oh, the plot were too simple. Bitch, were you listening? What movie theater were you sitting in when this movie was playing? Because it wasn't fucking this one.
Right.
I'm appalled.
You should be. You know what I mean? The unmitigated gall of these fucking haters. You know what I'm saying? Like, they were just being goddamn haters, man.
Like, just watch fucking Lifetime or Hallmark Channel if you want basic TV. Stop going to the movies. You deserve less.
You're goddamn right. You're goddamn right. Talk to these niggas, man. Like, nah, man. That's how you feel, man. Like, to me, it was such a joyous movie. You know what I mean? And obviously, you have to evaluate it and stuff like that. Like, nothing is perfect, all that stuff. But I think it was just well done, man. You know what I mean? But
yeah,
I know we brought up Luigi, right? My thoughts on Luigi was, I like Charlie Day. You know what I mean? Because I remember my roommate back in undergrad a billion years ago. You know what I'm saying? Had me watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So that's when I was introduced to him or whatever. Obviously, it's a huge show. But I wanted more of him. But I was like, okay, this is clearly a setup for us to get more of him in the future. You know? They gave us so little of Luigi. And we all know there's been like Luigi Mansion games and all the Luigi-centric properties. That I went, oh, okay, they're just trying to establish Mario and Peach. And then we're going to get Luigi in the next movie. Do you think there was enough of Luigi, or are you on the train with me?
I personally felt like there wasn't enough of Luigi.
Okay.
Initially. But at the end of the movie, I was like, I get it. I get that this was essentially more Mario than anything. And I think I should have expected that, because in all of the trailers, it was more about Mario than anybody else. And it's like that Steven make a good point after we leave, because I was like, they do my boy Luigi wrong, but he was like, that's how it is in the games. Like, it's not always Mario and Luigi at all times. Like, they're on the same, I guess, pedestal. It's always Mario, and then Luigi is kind of like a side character. And he's, you know,
it's true.
In his little voice clips and stuff in the game, like, you could tell he's not as, I guess, brave as Mario. So they really found a way to, like, incorporate that in a movie. Who I was vexed about the whole time, because my personal favorite character is Yoshi. And Yoshi is a lot of people's favorite character. So I was fully expecting at some point for Yoshi to show up in this film. And I was like, dog, what the fuck? I was more mad about the lack of Yoshi in this film than I was about Luigi having a smaller role, to be honest.
And it's so funny, like, as I talk to folks about it, a lot of people agree with you. You know, like, I like Yoshi. I used to run Yoshi Island. I love that game. Like, but I was more focused on Luigi. I'm like, hey, this is 2023. We've remedied some of the, you know, Mario game, all the attention problems, because we have all the Luigi's Mansions games. So I was like, okay, where's more Luigi? But then, you know, I already explained that's why I think it's going to happen. But I think it's a similar thought process for you. You know, and as we know in the post-credit scene, we saw the little egg, the little Yoshi egg is over in the real world in Brooklyn or whatever. So we know that's coming next.
Let's talk about this post-credit scene, though.
Let's do it.
Because I'm ready to admit something embarrassing. I did not go into this aware that there were two post-credit scenes.
Oh, okay. And
I left. I leave. So, and as a Marvel fan, as somebody who has dedicated the past 10 plus years to being a fucking Marvel fanatic, for me, the minute I get up and I walk out, right, and I look back and I say, why these motherfuckers still sitting up? And something just didn't feel right, right? And we walk out the movie theater. I said, Steven, what if we walk out and I get a post-credit scene? And he's like, why would there be a post-credit scene in a Mario movie? I say, you're right. That don't make no sense. It's not a Marvel thing. That's something we come to expect from Marvel. So I sit down in the car and I look it up, right? Because I get anxiety. So I was like, I need to make sure I didn't miss out on something important. This fucking thing said, yes, there are two post-credits. I say, you fucking bitch. I was so mad. But thank God for TikTok and the fact that nobody on TikTok respects copyright. I was able to pull up both post-credit scenes and watch them in the car on the way home. So I was like, I can't not have the knowledge of this and go on this podcast and possibly receive a spoiler that I wasn't prepared for. So, but still, did you have, I guess, prior knowledge from other people who'd seen the film first that there was going to be a post-credit scene? Or did you also go into like, wait, what the fuck going on?
Well, you know, as a superior Marvel fan to Heiza, I knew the influence that Marvel had on the whole movie-going experience. So I know they've changed the landscape, particularly in the mid-credits and post-credits scene. So before I leave any movie, you know, I just go ahead and I Google that bitch, you know, for that minute when the credits start rolling to see how many it was. You know what I mean? So I knew the influence, of Marvel. So I was like, oh, there's two credit scenes. Let me sit down.
I will give it to you. I should have looked this up. But honestly, I think the reason that I was like, no, it's not going to happen is because, yes, like, Marvel has influenced the movie industry, but there's also a lot of Marvel hate in the movie industry. and a lot of directors and creators trying to differentiate themselves from Marvel and be like, oh, we're not just another superhero movie. So I don't know. I think that kind of thinking led me to be like, you ain't gonna fucking post-credit scene. And I really should have Googled that shit, because we walk, you know how in all the Marvel movies, you just see the people walk out and be like, fucking amateur. Like,
Fox.
Like, it was me. I was the amateur. But they were very like cute and funny post-credit scenes. And again, I was anticipating Yoshi. So I am very sad that I didn't stay in the theater for that, because I think it would have been a much more exciting experience to see like the scene where they tell you like, hey, there's future films coming and they're going to feature this character. So I sad about that. I'm very disappointed in myself.
No,
that's why I came to today's show humble. I can't talk shit about Chris Pratt knowing what I know about myself right now. So,
oh my God, that's hilarious. That's hilarious. But no man, so yeah, no, I have anxiety too. So my anxiety shows up in different ways. So my anxiety made me check before I leave. It's like, ah, let me see what's going on.
I get in the car, so I feel like I lied to myself. I feel like I just gaslight myself and walk out the fucking
movie. You didn't have faith in your instinct. You know what I mean? You gotta believe your instinct, man. But no, like obviously we mentioned in the post credit scenes. The first one is basically Bowser, who was, you know, they trapped. You know, they gave him the blue mushroom at the end of that amazingly animated fight in Brooklyn when Bowser said, "Oh yeah, no, I niggas ain't running. I about to, you fuck up my wedding to Peach." You know what I'm saying? Well, I about to fuck up the Mario universe and also the real world in Brooklyn. So obviously we had that dope fight at the end where they finally get their hands on the star or whatever. So after all of that, they shrank Bowser. He's in this tiny little jar. So the first scene is basically, what his name is, Bowser basically playing the piano, talking about his undying love with Peach, for Peach, I should say, and taking shots of Mario and Luigi. That was just funny to me, and it was perfect because anytime, and I mean it, I am a School of Rock stan, okay? And I mean that, okay? Anytime Jack Black is singing, I am in, period. You know what I mean? So that little clip of him singing, I was like, this is perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's perfect. And then the second scene we mentioned.
You know, every time I think about Jack Black now, every time I think about Jack Black now, I think about somebody who made a comment on Twitter not too long ago when Jack Black guest starred in a Mandalorian episode. Yep. And they were like, oh, Star Wars isn't about nerds anymore. You seriously see a clip of Jack fucking Black and decided that man ain't a nerd? Be serious.
Huge nerd.
Be so fucking for real. And this movie just cements the fact, like, first of all, he went to the movie premiere in a Bowser costume. He's a fucking nerd. He's one of us. Be serious. I hate Star Wars fandom. Anyway, that's just my little soapbox.
Shit on them. Shit on them.
Cannot stand them.
Me too. Yeah, man. I know I love Star Wars, so it's real. Fuck them. But anyways, like, yeah, you're 100% right. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just amazing. And in the second one, like we mentioned, we got the Yoshi egg. So I know Yoshi coming. There's going to be more of Luigi. And, you know, before we get out of here and before we rate this thing, I want to say as well, I love all of the video game references. Obviously, we got Racing on the Rainbow, which was obviously the callback to Mario Kart. Like,
I was so excited.
Right? It just hit me right in the nostalgia fields. It just said, okay, you guys know what this is. You're going to remind us of all the good things. You had the shout out to Diddy Kong when Mario and Donkey Kong were fighting. You got Cranky Kong, who you almost never get brought up. We have Luma Lee, who was a super emo star that we talked about.
They even had the squid.
Yes.
They had a blue shell moment. Like, the blue shell moment was also one of my favorite moments because everybody know when you race in a Mario Kart and somebody launch a fucking blue shell, it ruins everything. You'll be so mad when you get a blue shell and you're there in first place. And the way they did it was like, it seemed like they were winning. Like, they were going and get away, and then they get hit with a blue shell, and it ruined the momentum of everything. And I was like, that's exactly what happens in a game. Like, It, listen, I could, again, I could go for days, but that was awesome.
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up too, because that's something else that I really enjoyed, because yes, they played on nostalgia, all of that stuff. I'm not going to say it's the hardest thing possible to play on nostalgia, but I like the way they did it, right? They could have set up some type of multi-part competition after Mario and Donkey Kong fought, right? They're going to say, oh, the first part is a fight. Oh, the second part is a race. They didn't really do that. The whole point of the race was them trying to beat Bowser to a location to get back to the Mushroom Kingdom so they could stop him from taking over the kingdom. So instead of just making it blanket, easy, cut and paste, well, I try and find any other word to say, like trite, basic reason for them to race, they made it like functional and then sprinkled in the little elements from the game, and I appreciated that because they didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Exactly. They could have really taken like a shortcut and made it like, oh, in order to win the rights to like Peach's heart or something, you have to race Bowser, like you said. Like, they could have made it that basic. And instead, what they did was, like, when you're running away from this villain, like, you racing. When you end up underwater, that's where the squid come from that you see in the races. Like, just all this stuff. This, the rocket that does sound like a dog in a video game, and how, like, Mario hit his eye and he was like, bitch. Like, it was, listen, it was powerful. Even little things, like when Mario would drift. In the game, yes. I mean, not in the game. See, in the movie,
like Power Slide, yeah,
and it would boost his car, and shit like that'll happen in the game. Like all of this stuff that they really, really thought out really well from beginning to end of the movie, like it was excellent. I loved it.
Yeah, dude. Like I don't know, man. I just liked the way, just like you said, man. It was like nice, like little complexity in the simplicity of it. You know, like they know what they had. But they didn't go, these fuckers gonna watch anything we give them. I don't receive this movie like they didn't try or give effort and think about little ways to incorporate it without hitting us over the head. I think they sprinkled in a lot of different things to make us excited for the world and round out the world and make it pretty, and which I appreciate the way that they did it. You know what I mean? Like, it was so fun. It was just so fun, and I feel like you. I just keep gushing about this fucking thing. Before I ask the obligatory question about whether or not you disliked anything, was there anything else you wanted to talk about that I didn't bring up?
Not necessarily that hasn't been brought up, but just touching on the score and how excellent the score was. I actually don't know if I've ever heard anything from the Mario universe being turned into like that detailed of a score. Like we've had the video game themes and stuff like that, but like I don't think people understand how cool it is that now we literally have an original movie soundtrack / score that incorporates those video game themes that we've always loved, like the Mario theme and all of that stuff. It was amazing. And then they would incorporate it into the perfect parts of the movie that was relevant to those like motifs from the game. I literally went back after the after I leave the movies yesterday, and I was just sitting in my room like listening to the full score, and it's fire. I don't know if y'all are into movie scores and stuff like that. I really am. Like, I'm big on what the music sounds like and how it is incorporated into the overall story, and they did, like, whoever arranged that soundtrack was on point.
I agree. It was just fucking good, man. It was just good, man. And I was, you know what I mean, folks? This is why.
Brian Tyler.
Oh, he did the score?
He's the composer, Brian Tyler.
All right, excellent.
Shout out to
Brian. Shout out to you, Brian. And thank you for saying that, because I gave me time to remember what I was about to forget.
He also did Age of Ultron.
Ooh. Okay. That's not the one that the Marvel folks like the most.
Power Rangers.
Oh, damn. All right, Brian, I see you, bro. I see you, Brian. Brian out here in these streets. This nigga working. You know what I'm saying? He walking. Shout out to Brian. But no, what I wanted to bring up to another thing that I almost forgot was I liked the family part about it. We saw the family in the beginning, and they essentially like didn't have faith in Mario. They didn't like that he and Luigi left. The big established plumbing company to start their own business. You know what I mean? Basically believing in themselves and basically feeling like, yo, like, my family don't believe in me. I was like, huh. I feel like a lot of people could relate to that in a lot of different ways and different endeavors that they're trying to get into. So I enjoyed that. And I thought that was a good, like, more like adult, probably more young adult, but not necessarily, but usually young adult type of feeling and something that folks could relate to. So I thought that little element of it was good too. And it kind of gave the adults some things to go, oh yeah, I remember when this happened to me. Or, oh wow, that would really suck if your family don't have any faith in you. You know what I'm saying? And feeling like beaten down by that fact. So I enjoyed that whole arc as well, whereby Mario's saving another world and now coming back to Brooklyn to save his world from Bowser, who is from the other world, kind of brought his family full circle and really believing in the extent of his abilities. You know?
Yep.
Yeah,
that was, I mean, I liked meeting the family in general because you only ever hear the two main characters. So that was dope.
Facts. And for sure, too. And also, too, basically them making fun of how ridiculous the original quote unquote Italian accents are by using the family to basically poke fun at like how terrible it is. I love that. That's perfect. They were so aware of how bad it was. And I love how they were pointing it out. Just incredible.
Yeah. And I want, like, what I wonder in thinking about that is, did they release the trailer and then everybody was like, Chris Pratt sound like shit, and then they were like, all right, we need to rethink how he gonna talk in his own movie, and they were like, Mickey from Brooklyn or something. I don't know. I feel like maybe people were anticipating that Chris Pratt wasn't going to pull off like the full Mario accent, and instead they were like, let's poke fun at ourselves.
Maybe. And
make fun of the accent in the movie, but you know, make it clear that Mario and Luigi aren't from like Italy. They're from Brooklyn. They're just Italian.
Right. No, I mean, and that could very possibly be part of it. But I do remember a while back on the main show, me and JG had talked about it because I found the article. The director was saying they were purposely trying to do like a more realistic Italian American accent. So I think that was kind of their aim. I think they were trying not to be offensive. But you're right. Who knows? Maybe he couldn't do the outright ridiculous, you know what I mean, terrible Italian accent. You know what I mean? So I think it worked out. But I know for sure they were really leaning into saying that. Like,
probably. I mean, but technically he did. They did it in a commercial.
Oh, you mean the Yahoo, or whatever the fuck it was. The woohoo, that shit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They're still in the commercial, like their whole dialogue was the accent, and I have to give Chris Pratt credit, like he pulled it off.
Mm-hmm. No, he did for sure. Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, man, I can't believe Chris Pratt do this, boss. Because I knew somebody who loved Chris Pratt. I think he's fine. I don't have no opinion on it, man. But I was like, oh man, my guy did it. He did it. He was taking so much heat. I'm like, nah, this fucker, he did great. Oh, man. Shout out to Chris, man. Christopher Pratticus. I love it, man. Shout out to Chris. Yeah. Amazing. But anyways, I think you guys can tell that we really love this movie. So let's go ahead and rate this bitch. All right, for y'all at home, the rating system goes from worst to best. Whether you think the movie was garbage or you thought it was so-so, or you thought it was decent, or you thought it was fire, or the top of the top, the best of the best, proper. Again, garbage, so-so, decent, fire, proper. Hey, Aiza, the homie, Den Grogu, stepmother. I guess technically Pedro Pascal's wife. additionally, one half of the Good Up podcast that we love and appreciate. How do you rate this movie, The Super Mario Brothers, from 2023?
I don't know if this is my first proper on the podcast, but it's a proper for me.
Boom! That is your first proper.
I have no complaints.
Wait, did you give The Woman King proper or fire? I think it might be your second proper. There was a lot of black women in that movie. I think you might have given that one a proper.
I think I gave The Woman King fire.
Okay, maybe. We gonna see. I'm gonna check back.
I don't know.
But yes.
I can't remember.
Yeah. yeah, man. Ah, man. Talk some more so I can think about my rating. I'm trying to think, right? For what it was, which was fun, beautiful, nostalgic, just pure joy. I was enjoying myself the whole movie. I loved it. Coming into this review, I was thinking, should I give it a fire? Should I give it a proper? But I'm going to break my rule. I normally never give nothing a proper unless it's like the greatest fucking thing I ever seen in my life. But in terms of knowing what the movie is, what they were going for, which was a fun, beautiful, joyous, hilarious movie, I'm going to break my own rule. I'm going to not give it a fire. I'm going to give it a proper because I thought it would be fun and I thought I would enjoy it. But I think it really exceeded my expectations for what it was. I am going to give the Super Mario Brothers movie a proper. Proper, okay?
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, I broke my own rules. I don't think I gave out any propers since we've ever done these reviews. They'd be like, nigga, this is the first proper you give out, and you don't give the Woman King. Ah, that's funny. But fuck it, man. Yeah, I gave this one a proper, man. I gave this one a proper. It was just so fun, and it was just so joyful to me. I can't resist, man. I cannot resist. You know what I mean? So, yeah. So that's how I rate it, man.
It deserves.
Right? It does. You know what I mean? Shout out to MV Peach. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to MV Peach. Shout out to Mario. Luigi Cavaras. Fucker had me laughing. You know what I mean? Toad was great. Just, right? Exceptional. Exceptional. Proper. You know what I mean? If you don't like it, write in and, you know, let me know what you think. I don't say you full of shit, but I still gonna read it on your ear. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man. Hey, Aiza, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast. I know the pod streets are missing you, but we're as good up fans. You know what I mean? We're hopeful you guys will return at some point. You know what I mean?
Thanks for having me. We hope to be back in the streets very soon. Very soon. Just cross our fingers, please, because life rough out here. But, you know, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. And y'all know the deal, man. I didn't say it earlier because I was so excited to chop it up with Aiza. But y'all know the deal, man. Share the podcast, whether you love or hate it. Share it, you know. It helps. Write us a review. We'll read it on the show. Write into the show. We're going to read it on the show and give some commentary. You know what I mean? Yeah. So we'll see you guys next time. More reviews to come. Eventually, more of the main show will come back. But we'll talk to you guys next time. Peace.